And indeed, we'll update you on all the golf leaderboards that are happening around the world on the DP World Tour and indeed the PGA Tour as well. So all that and more coming up on the show tonight. Stay tuned.
The Springboks return to the pitch in search of revenge. But the Wallabies want to continue where they left off last weekend. Which green and gold between the two nations will walk away victors? This is the Rugby Championship. Witness global class rugby action. South Africa versus Australia on Saturday, 23 August at 10 past 5 in the afternoon. Live on SABC radio stations. All SABC radio stations are also available on SABC Plus. Proudly brought to you by SABC Sport. For the love of the game.
Sport with Michael Abramson.
We have a special interview planned for you. We're chatting tonight to one of my two in-studio guests, the chairperson of Women in Boxing, Rina Subotsky. Women are taking to boxing in a big way. What do you think has prompted this?
Look, I think in sport in general, the trend is towards women in sport. If you look at a whole bunch of sporting codes, women in sport is on the rise. Mm. Women's rugby, women's soccer, women's netball. There's this sort of surge towards women in sport at the moment, and I think boxing is not any different, and there's so much room for growth and so much room for opportunity for women in boxing, and our plan is to drive that. But because of it's sort of like a new dawn in boxing in general in the country, because there's a new sports minister and a new board, there's governance, there's transparency, there's openness, there's engagement with stakeholders, all of a sudden people are going, hey, we used to love this sport. It used to be the number two watched sport in the country.
Right.
You know, South Africans have deep roots in boxing, and we've produced amazing boxers over the years.
Top Sport on SAFM. Top Sport with Michael Abramson on SAFM.
Right, plenty to talk about in the world of cricket. Just before we go there, the unscramble again for tonight. Week, W-E-A-K, then Panama and H-K. H for hotel, K for kilo. Week, Panama, H-K. Are the letters to unscramble tonight. Which sports star am I talking about as far as that is concerned? See if you can give me the name. Unscramble those letters and come up with a sports star. 0860-002032 or 0614-104107. That's for text messages or voice notes. You can X us at SAFM Radio or you can X me at Memory Mentalist. Plenty happening in the world of cricket, a comprehensive chat following, but I need to tell you that South Africa could clinch the ODI series tomorrow when they go to Mackay, which is a coastal venue off the east coast of Australia in the state of Queensland, and they will be playing tomorrow against the home side, and if they win that, of course, they go 2-0 up, which would be an unassailable lead in that particular competition, with one match to come also in Mackay later on in a few days' time. So ahead of that match, this is what Coach Shukri Conrad had to say, particularly talking about the suspension tomorrow of spin bowler Prenilin Subrayan.
I don't know if cited is the right word. I think it's been reported.
Reported, okay.
Yeah, so the process is to get him tested as soon as we possibly can, and we're looking to do it in Brisbane. Which suits everyone. We're going to the UK via Brisbane, and hopefully we can get that done sooner rather than later. So yeah, that's the process from here on in. He can play, yeah, he's available to play, so you're allowed to play until you get tested.
Right.
I just felt, and we just felt together with Soups, that yeah, less noise, just get him away out of the public eye,
okay.
Just make sure that he's okay and that he focuses on this testing, you know, so, yeah, that's probably why his name's, well, not probably, that's why his name's not going to be on the team sheet tomorrow.
Okay.
Is that right? Yeah, yeah, so he's obviously gone through this process before, many years ago, I don't know how long ago, but yeah, it's never easy, and it's waited this long to make his debut and do particularly well, so, yeah, but we obviously rally around him and make sure that he's in the best spirits, but, yeah, I think next week we'll reveal a lot, and then we'll take it from there. But as it is now, it's doing okay. They flagged 12 balls. I think they forwarded to us. And I don't know enough about this, but I think he's got to emulate those 12 balls during the test. We're going to be sending our bowling coach with as well, just to be there with him and just to support. And then obviously for us to be, gain some knowledge as to how all of these things work. That's pretty much going to be it.
South African coach Shukri Conrad talking ahead of that match tomorrow. It starts at 6:30 South African time. It is a day-night match in Mackay in Australia. Australia against South Africa. A win for South Africa gives them the series, which would be a sweet revenge for their narrow loss in the T20 series. So to unpack all sorts of cricketing matters, very, very pleased to have back on the show one of our senior cricket correspondents and a man who watches cricket day in and day out and can give us a lot of insights into the game. Kevin Rademeyer, delighted to chat to you. Good evening.
Michael, good evening. It's been 3 weeks since we were at the Cricket Awards, exactly 3 weeks to the day, and it was great to see you then, and thank you for having me back.
Only a pleasure. So we haven't had a comprehensive cricket chat with you, as you say, for quite some time. So putting it right tonight, and there's so much to talk about. Let's unpack the elephant in the room first, Kevin, if you don't mind, and just reflect on Shukri Conrad's comments in that short piece that we played. Prenel and Sir Brian, you've watched him. I've watched him many, many times in the domestic scene. There hasn't really seemed to be a problem. All of a sudden, it's gone into the public domain and become an issue now. And as you heard, he's being kept away from the limelight. He won't play in tomorrow's match. Just what have you made of that, particularly the timing thereof? Is it Australian tactics to try and blunt one of South Africa's weapons, or do you think there's legitimacy to the complaint?
I think this time the Australians are innocent. Sir Brian is actually, he's almost 32 years of age, so he's been around. And there hasn't been a lot of controversy over the last couple of years, but this is not the first time. In 2012, Cricket South Africa themselves put him in rehabilitation to do independent tests because they thought his actions were illegal. He was eventually cleared the year after that. Again, in 2014, during the Champions League T20 in India, he had problems there, and in a domestic game in 2015, he was also actually tested then, failed it, and then was eventually cleared later in 2016. So yes, there hasn't been drama the last 9 years, but very early on in his career, he actually failed a couple of these tests.
Now, with spin bowlers, particularly off spinners, they're occasionally, and we've seen it with some of the Sri Lankan off spinners in the past, that most of the time, many of their deliveries are legal. It's just the odd delivery when they try and perhaps bowl the quicker ball that the arm does tend to bend a little bit, and it can be deemed an illegal delivery. But what we heard from that clip from Shukri is he's saying that there were 12 deliveries that were sort of highlighted by the Australians to say that they are problematic. That suggests that it's a deeper problem.
It could be a deeper problem, and you'll obviously have to go to the testing ground in Brisbane in a couple of days' time now, actually, and be testing. And you're correct, I've got 12 balls that were flagged actually by the ICC, and you have to go emulate that in front of the independent body to see whether his elbow is bending more than 15 degrees or not at delivery. And that'll obviously determine whether it's an illegal action or it's legal action. But like I said, this is not his first time. He has gone through rehabilitation. So him and Pitworth, the bowling coach, will probably know what to do to try and fix it. We also can't forget that this is happening after his debut ODI match.
Yes.
He played one test match in Zimbabwe 2 months ago, and now this is ODI, and this can end a career. So I do feel very sorry for him.
What happens now in the mind of the player? You heard Shukri say that they've obviously got senior people around him to try and make sure that he's okay and that he's handling the situation. But it's got to be a devastating blow, as you say, just making his way in the national team in various formats. And now to be hit with this takes him out of the limelight yet again. And if there is a fault in the action, it's going to be difficult, as you say, so late in his career to get it right.
It's going to be difficult. And there's so much competition for that spinning spot in the Proteas team. So, and this was his big chance. He had the chance. He played in the first match. He got Travis Head. He did actually quite brilliantly. I think 10 overs went for 45 runs or so. And he thought this might be his moment. And now for it to be taken away. He can play, like Shukri said. However, they believe in the best interest of the player as well as the team to just take him out of that spotlight and test him before they go to England. You'll still be able in England, as those test results probably won't be back then, but it is a dampener, and it's just uncertainty at the age of 32. you really don't need that.
Really sad for the player who's done particularly well on the domestic scene, especially playing for the KZN franchise for over a long period of time. Let's just talk about some of the other matters concerning the match tomorrow and indeed the series as it stands. And South Africa's whole tour down under, there have been some remarkable performances from some of our younger players. Dewald Brewis is the name on everybody's lips. Matthew Breedske also had a wonderful match recently. And you've got Luandre Pretorius is the new star of South African cricket. Kwena Mapaka doing wonders with the ball as well. So it seems as if there's a new conveyor belt of exciting young players who are coming through the system.
There is a conveyor belt. There's obviously Donovan Ferreira who's now playing in the 100 as well. And a whole lot of people waiting in the wings. It's becoming very competitive. And I believe that's what these bilateral series are actually aimed at, to try and get the people or to try and get the team that's ready for a World Cup. Unfortunately, in most sports, be it rugby, be it football, be it cricket now, all the attention is for the World Cups, and teams are using the 4 years in between to try and get depth in their squad so that they can take the squad that can go and win the World Cup. These series, like in Australia now and the next one in England and even India later in the year, will go a far way to prepare our guys for the white ball World Cups that are coming up.
And just talking about that, I mean, you've got a nice blend now among the South Africa team with these youngsters coming through, but also the experienced heads around people like Aiden Markram, people like Themba Bavuma, of course, Rusty van der Dussen, Ryan Rickleton, players who've been in the system for a while. Of course, KG missing from this particular series, which is unfortunate, but so many good experienced names in there to help these youngsters to develop even further.
You're correct. We have Miller missing there. Rabat has obviously been pulled out of the VC matches. Klaassen recently retired. But we see the likes now of Berger coming in. Stubbs, who's only played 10 ODI games before, believe it or not. Brewis, all the names that you mentioned. But I think on the other hand, and with all the depth, it's starting to put pressure on guys like Stubbs and even Brewis. Mm. Stubbs has failed in his last innings. And he's got one, now two ducks. In his 10 innings, only really got two good scores. That puts a lot of pressure knowing that there's other guys who are in the wings. And that's one or two opportunities that could be put a massive dent in your own career. So it's good that there's experience as well to help these youngsters. And we're going to find out who rises to the top and who succumbs to the pressure.
Kevin, let's talk about something else that happened today, a major announcement. You were there and had the opportunity to take it all in. I unfortunately couldn't make it, but there was South Africa will be co-hosting, or as I said earlier, tri-hosting with two other countries in Southern Africa, that 2027 50-over format of the World Cup. It's exciting times for South African cricket moving forward. I can tell you as well that the floodlights at the Wanderers Stadium are being revamped completely at the moment. It's quite strange if you drive down Caller Drive, there are no pylons above the stadium. So an iconic standpoint, effectively, if you look towards the Wanderers Stadium from a distance, you can't see those floodlight pylons because they're being repaired ahead of this tournament, but an announcement of the committee of people who will take cricket forward, building up to that 2027 World Cup. Just give us some information. What was the day like, and what can you tell us about it?
You're correct. It was actually a brilliant day, and it's a pity that you couldn't be there because Cricket South Africa outdid themselves game the hosting with some great dignitaries there today, talking about ex-deputy presidents, some of the best ministers, obviously highlighted and headlined by Trevor Manuel, who is the local organizing committee chair. He has been appointed, believe it or not, to get himself into sports management at this late, as well as obviously Gayton McKenzie, who was in fine form today. And really, the 2027 World Cup, I guess, started today, although the board members knew for a couple of months now have been selected. They couldn't really get together. But today we had all the board members there. We had even the sports deputy minister from Namibia. And we had all the important people who are going to be in charge of the governance and compliance for the World Cup in South Africa, Zimbabwe and Namibia. And just talking about certain things that have to get in place before the operations take full force.
Now, I believe that South Africa and Zimbabwe will qualify automatically as a result of hosting the tournament, but Namibia, even though they are going to play a part in hosting and host a couple of matches, their qualification is not guaranteed.
That's correct. They are not guaranteed. Ironically, South Africa is playing them, I believe, in October in Namibia for a one-off T20 game. Their stadium, which is getting ready for the World Cup, is also going to be finished tomorrow, which is quite coincidental that it happened today, and apparently it's a beautiful facility. But they should be able to find a way to the World Cup. They have been there before, some experienced players as well. And I'm hoping that they can, because like the Deputy Sports Minister said today at the event, actually big for them. It's not a South African event, this is an African event. It should showcase all of Africa, like the 2010 Football World Cup, that the whole of Africa can be proud of. And I hope they can get an entry there and qualify.
Just tell us a little bit more about the event in terms of the entertainment and some of the other people that were there. Was it almost like a who's who of cricket?
Pretty much the who's who of cricket, except for SAFM, was unfortunately able to go there.
But you represented us, Kevin. There you go.
I always represent. It was brilliant. And like I say, Gaita McKenzie, love him. I know he's quite controversial in the news today. He really knows how to tell stories. He bleeds South Africa. He bleeds South African sport. I believe he let one or two things out of the bag today, which I'm not going to disclose yet, because I know you're also going to go to the SASCOC announcements very soon. Mm-hmm. But he really tried to sell South Africa as the destination to come. I asked him, and a couple of the other people asked him, about his concerns about hosting the 2027 World Cup in October, November, the same time as the Rugby World Cup down under. And I know what an effect it had in 2023 when the World Cup was held in India and half the media was in France, half the media was in India. And rugby in South Africa, unfortunately, 90% of the time gets priority, especially when we're doing well. And the whole vibe was about the Rugby World Cup and very little about cricket. And they are trying to make sure that it doesn't overlap too much. Gayton, or Minister McKenzie, promised me that on Monday morning I'll be the first to know the dates for the Cricket World Cup, as they are speaking about it this weekend. And I hope that's not going to have an effect. I think they both should be extremely great events.
Kevin, you're representing us incredibly well, just to keep going in that regard. So just in terms of that, listeners will be wondering, why can't the cricket move slightly forward? Are those dates sort of fairly set in stone as far as the ICC is concerned because of that potential clash situation? Is there a possibility to manipulate a bit?
Well, let me start with this. The Rugby World Cup in Australia was actually pushed a bit back. Normally it is September, ends in the middle of October, but because of Rugby League and the Australian football, they actually moved that a month back, start on the 1st of October, ending on the 13th of November. The cricket is not set in stone 100%. Trevor Manuel actually has a big issue. I spoke to him a little bit, and he's a bit more worried than Minister McKenzie. He was in France as well, to the impact that it had on the cricket World Cup. And he's trying to speak with Mr. McKenzie this weekend to the ICC and see what they can do, although it's very difficult with the cricket calendar as well in terms of all the T20s around the world. But they're going to try and see as much as possible for it not to overlap. And it's important. I think the Proteas do need to have their own event where all eyes on them and not diverted to both.
Excellent stuff. Kevin, before we go, just an update on your team, the Hatters, now playing in League One, but looking like they've started the season pretty well. So hopefully you'll be back where you belong, at least in the Championship next season. How's it going for you?
Played 4-1-3, lost one, but not the best football either. To be honest with you, we've been very lucky in two of those four games. We beat Wigan on Tuesday. They should have probably beaten us one. We're having a bit of luck this year. And we need this luck to continue. We need to be there with Norwich in the Championship. Yeah. with Middlesbrough and a couple of them. So we can catch some Championship football next year.
That'll be fantastic. As always, Kevin Rademeyer, wonderful to have you on the show. Thank you so much for unpacking so many different issues in a short 15-minute interview. Always a pleasure to have you on. And we'll see you again soon.
Thank you. And thank you to Len and to your listeners.